Hello, 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 everybody. Welcome, one and all, to the ProWrestling.net all-access review of TNA Impact with me, Hayden Gleeth. This show broadcasted on Destination America on the 6th of March and was filmed in Manchester, England on the 30th of January 2015. Yes, I said January. So how has everybody's week been? I really hope it's been a good one for each and every single one of you. Two quick things before I start. One, I'm getting a new headset. With everybody in the wrestling podcast world seemingly getting new kit, and it seems to be the in vogue thing, I'm doing what I always do, jumping on a bandwagon a little too late. So from the next audio review I do, the quality should be a heck of a lot better, and you won't be getting the random clicking noises that, in all fairness, I try my best to edit out, but for some reason are still there. I've literally looked at every single setting on my laptop. I've Googled my heart out, but I still can't work out what that noise was and where it was coming from. So I've bought a new headset, and hopefully that should be with me in the next couple of days. Speaking of the next audio, I'm not here next week. I know. Please don't cry. I'm away on a boys' weekend in London, so I won't be able to record any audio unless you want a repeat of the Hangover edition of the Impact Review audio that I did last week. I'm not sure what Jason's plan is at this point, but he should come up with a replacement. Obviously not anywhere as good as me. Don't you agree? Anyone? Hello? With all that out of the way, Impact was a decent show. I was watching a show at midnight last night, / this morning, and it still kept my attention, which, trust me, at my age, I tend to fall asleep around about midnight, 1:30. So the fact that I was up until 1:30, 2:30, showed that the show actually kept my attention. I do want to publicly thank, though, John Moore, who was on Facebook last night and letting me rant to him on Facebook, on the Facebook chat, when anything bothered me that I was watching on the show. But in all seriousness, it was a pretty decent show with TNA booking sprinkled in as usual, but we'll get to all that. Before I actually get into the show, I want to do a quick plug for the awesomeness that is ProWrestling.net membership. If you're listening to this on Blog Talk Radio or on iTunes or wherever, you're listening to an all-access version of what we do here at .net on the membership site. Behind the paywall, you get access to hundreds of hours of audio that has been done over the last 7 years of .net's existence, including interviews with the likes of Mick Foley, Jim Ross, Matt Morgan, Jeff Jarrett, amongst many, 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 many others. As a member, you also get ad-free access to the site, and as someone like me who hates pop-up ads, it's worth the money alone for that. Every week, there's fresh audio from the staff, including coverage of all the major shows, as well as audio from Will and Jake in a discussion-type format, as well as the flagship show .NET Weekly, where Jason and the co-hosts talk about the news of the week, and very often, there is first-run news that you won't find anywhere else. This week, he had, WWE creative member, Kurt Bauer, as his co-host, and they broke down the news, and it was a very, very interesting discussion. You also have access to the members' forum, where there is a great group of guys talking about the wacky, wacky world that is wrestling, and they won't belittle you or mock you for having an opinion or for being a newbie, which, again, as someone who has had bad experience with that on other forums, I can tell you it is very refreshing. They're a great, great group of guys. So with WrestleMania season coming up, you would be a fool, I tells you, to miss out on all the coverage that we provide in the .NET universe. So how do I sign up, I hear you ask? Go to the main page, and on the right-hand side, you'll see a link that says sign up. You can get membership for as little as $5.50 if you take up the annual option, or $7.50 if you want to go down the monthly route. If you sign up today, let Jason know it's because of one of my plugs, and although I won't get any perks, I will get a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling inside that I helped someone find greatness. So, with all that out of the way, let's take a look at the show. As always, I will be reading from John Moore's excellent review of TNA Impact. Well, I say excellent, but there is some factual mistakes, which I will get to later on. So, John, if you're listening, don't tune out, because I've got a few words for you later. How is that for a hook for later on? So if you want to follow along with what I'm reading, you can on the main page of ProWrestling.net. So let's take a look at what happened. We had a relatively long talking segment to start the show. Let me read to you what happened. The opening recap video featured the Beatdown Clan's unity, Lashley's stay, Lashley's struggle with the BDC, and the many run-ins from last week's main event. Back to the arena, the Beatdown Clan made their way to the ring. Matthews and Taz noted how the clan's plan failed last week to reacquire the world title for the group. They noted how it was the second week where Drew Galloway got involved in BDC business. Kenny King started off with the mic this week. He wanted to address the Drew situation. Kenny remembered that at one time he was known as the Chosen One. But Drew chose to get involved in BDC business, so he chose to break down the beatdown of Grado and Snow. Sorry, I misread that. He chose to come out during the world title match. King said it's now the BDC's turn to choose which piece of Drew's ass to take first. He said Loki wants Drew's head. King will settle for a wing. King said there's two things you don't do in life. Mess with the BDC or mess with the BDC's money, period. MVP grabbed the mic. He said if Drew had any idea what he did, more importantly, who he did it to. He told Drew to think long and hard. Grado and Snow was fun, but the world title was business. He told Drew that was serious business. Beatdown Clan business. He said he came a year ago to dominate with the world title, and for some reason, Drew wanted to get involved in that business. MVP then gave Drew the opportunity to come out and explain his motivation and apologize. He reiterated his plea. Drew came out through the crowd to no music. MVP said Drew was public enemy number one. Drew called out the BDC. He said he is home right now, which he wasn't really. He was in Manchester, which is a good 200 miles away from his home. But I digress. He said he's also not far away from the ring, where he stopped the BDC from stealing the title. He said he was surrounded by professional wrestling fans, not sports entertainment fans. He said they wondered why Drew was in TNA. He said he was there to speak for those who weren't listened to. He said he was there to stand up for wrestling and give the fans a voice. He said they aren't just screwing with Lashley or Rude. He then put the mic to identify some fans. He said they're screwing with Rob Anna, who screamed like a banshee, a dude named Ashley, and the world Andrew Galloway. He said it's people like MVP that disgust him in wrestling, trying to dictate what the fans watch and choosing who they want as champion. John asked in his report that he believed this to be a jab at the Daniel Bryan situation, and yes, this was taped the week after the Royal Rumble, I believe. He said professional wrestling should be decided by the fans, by what a man can do in the ring, and he'd be damned if the BDC decided such things. King said they weren't here to flap up at the jib or bump gums. I don't really get that, but I'm really uncool. He pointed to Loki that Drew spilled his blood and the BDC demanded retribution and satisfaction. If they don't get it, he said the BDC will take a nice little ride to Drew's mum and dad's house and take a debt out of their ass. Or arse, as he put it. He said to Drew's decision to confront them, so choose wisely. Drew questioned if they wanted to fight him. He said he didn't want to complain back and forth. He wanted to fight. Drew then said he didn't need wrestling gear. He'll fight King right now with the guys in the back. Kenny King accepted the one-on-one challenge and they cut to commercial. As well, as John put in his review, I too have mixed feelings on this segment. I thought in a vacuum, everyone delivered their promo as well. MVP was outstanding, showing himself as someone who was gutted how things went down last week and really sold the emotion that the loss hit him hard. Kenny King had a chance to shine, and just as John said in his report, it showed that although MVP is the leader, each member of the BDC is strong enough to carry a promo, and the group have faith in each member to do their bit. Drew Galloway was great in his delivery, and the crowd interaction was great and novel on a national stage, and he told a great story and galvanized the crowd behind him. But on to the negatives. It's pretty much the same promo we have heard before from him, and trust me, we will hear this same type of promo again next week. Sorry about the small spoiler there. I should have done a spoiler alert, but it's only a very small spoiler. But yeah, I don't know how many times he can say the same thing in different ways without it getting stale. I did enjoy the segment, but I just couldn't help shaking the feeling that I had seen it before. I hope after next week, Drew is more defined as a character as opposed to just being a man of the people. Otherwise, the act will get stale very, very quickly. And especially when they get back to the States, because I think a lot of this reaction is the fact that Drew is a British person and the British fans are more excited to see him. So after a commercial, we had the first match of the night, which was Drew Galloway against Kenny King, both wearing their street clothes. Very quickly, before I read on, I really liked this as it felt organic as opposed to two people getting into a heated verbal exchange, really hating each other and then going, oh, but before I hit you, I need to put on my tiny little piece of underwear so we will fight later on. It's just a small thing, but I wanted to give TNA sort of props for that. Even though the BDC said they would go to the back, they ran back out anyway, and in a classic piece of WTF TNA moment, the bell rang, Drew and Kenny battled for about 30 seconds, then MVP ran in right in front of the ref and struck Drew. But there was no disqualification. Whatever. Eventually, with their work done, the BDC went to the back. So late in the match, the two competitors, had a chop battle that King won with a right to the eye. Galloway out of nowhere body slammed King on the corner of the ring apron. Back in the ring, Galloway clubbed King in the back over the ropes, but King came back. King did an apron leg drop on Galloway. Galloway kicked out at one. With the fans behind him, Galloway rallied back. King turned the corner boot into a cradle suplex for a two count this time. King taunted his opponents into the camera. King slapped Galloway several times, which Drew looked more motivated after each one. Drew clubbed on King enraged. Galloway hit a corner knee and a flying clothesline leading to a near fall. Drew did a thumbs up, thumbs down motion. Drew tried to hit the future shock DDT, but King kicked him. King then did a move similar to the natural selection off the springboard for a near fall of his own. King tried to steal one with his feet on the ropes, but Drew hit the future shock DDT out of nowhere for the victory. So, Drew Galloway defeated Kenny King via pinfall in 6 minutes and 23 seconds. After the match, Low-Key quickly ran out to attack Drew, but Drew escaped through the crowd. Right, first of all, the in-ring debut of Drew was good. Kenny King and him put on a good display of passionate wrestling. It won't be on anyone's Match of the Year ballot, but you could see that Drew was fighting for himself and for the fans, and that came across, so I enjoyed that. The interference at the start had me rolling my eyes, but there's no point getting all angry and frustrated, otherwise I'll just end up moaning for a full 40 minutes on these reviews, and no one really wants to hear that, do they? As for the match, and I completely agree with John here, when you have a character who is talking about being a wrestler, not a sports entertainer, and is taking shots at companies, putting over chosen ones over the expense of what the fans actually want to see, is it really smart for them to have that wrestler be called the Chosen One, or at least reminding fans that he used to be called the Chosen One, and also that he came through the crowd like Roman Reigns does, and have music that sounds very much like the Shield music that Roman still uses? I know it sounds like I'm being petty or that John is picking up on a small thing, but it's not. It completely and totally undermines the character, and it's not just people like us who pick up on it. I was in West Wales yesterday with my girlfriend, and we were walking across the beach, a beautiful beach with the sun shining, and John sent me a link on Facebook, and it was basically a link for the exit music of Drew Galloway, and asked me what I thought. At this point, I hadn't seen the show or even heard this music, so I played it, and without me saying a thing, my girlfriend, whose only exposure to wrestling is watching Total Divas, and occasionally sitting down with me and trying to understand why I do what I do here at ProWrestling.net, she said to me, that sounds like the music for that smug, well, we will say expletive, as that is an all-access podcast. So with that in mind, in the context of the Drew character, it does not help that someone who is supposed to be fighting against people being shoved down your throat remind you of that person who is being shoved down your throat. Or you at least feel that is the situation. Strange, strange, strange. As I said, I don't want to crap all over this segment and match as I enjoyed it, but it was almost ruined by something that I didn't pick up as a wrestling analyst. I picked up on something that a non-wrestling fan picked up on straight away. Taz and Matthews then reminded us of the triple threat for the number one contendership in the main event. Taron Terrell will face Kong in a title match. Also, the Wolves face the Revolution for their titles as well. Bobby Roode looked ready to fight as he headed to the ring. So Bobby Roode made his way to the ring wearing his off-the-chain t-shirt. He said Eric Young cost him his heavyweight championship and tried to end his career. He told Young to take a long, hard look because Bobby Roode is still standing. He said tonight he is going to become the number one contender. Kurt Angle came out next immediately. Angle questioned Roode's claim that nothing was getting in Roode's way. He said Kurt Angle is going to get in Roode's way. Kurt said he's going to be the number one contender and will face Lashley. He then headed to the ring for a fight. From behind, Eric Young attacked Roode. Eric Young then jawed with Kurt Angle trying to get a cheap shot in. Roode came out of nowhere. Eric Young yelled like a maniac and paced away with an insane look on his face. Cut to a solid knockouts title video package, as John said. I can't disagree with John with what John said in his thoughts in the report. Roode was a lot better here, and the raise in his voice to the shouting level was done at the right time in context of what he was saying. And he certainly wasn't shouting throughout the whole promo, which has been essentially Roode's calling card for years. I personally would prefer him to be one of these people who you have to listen really hard to hear exactly what he says. That way, you are hearing every single word, and he's intense while at the same time controlled. But I can't criticize this promo at all. It's just me fancy booking, I guess. Angle is starting to come across as whiny, and it does hurt his character. I still go back to a couple of weeks ago when he said to Lashley he didn't want his title, and yet he's saying things like he was injured and he dreamt of holding the title again, so it's a massive contradiction. Again, it's a small nitpick, but it makes Angle's character look really unlikable in my eyes, especially when he demeans a fellow babyface. I need to admit something to you guys here right now, and this goes no further, okay? And it's not going to be easy for me. I hate Eric Young. I hate him with every bone in my body. Why do I hate him? Because he proved me wrong. I hate being wrong on so many levels. Ask my girlfriend, ask anyone I know. The one thing I hate being is wrong. And when they turned him heel, I thought it was a stupid, unnecessary turn, and it would destroy his character. Boy, was I wrong. EY has been fantastic in the heel role, and if anything, is a much more well-rounded character than he was before as a babyface. So, there's a spoiler here, so I'll give you a couple of seconds to fast forward. I'd say about 30 seconds, and I'll be done. So I'll let you fast forward. There we go. So the people who want to be spoiled, EY and Bobby Roode face each other in the Last Man Standing match next week. I hate these type of matches usually, but the way Eric Young has been getting heat, the way that Eric Young garnered heat during the ref's 10 count during this match that you'll see next week is just masterful. The match is outstanding as well, so you all have that to look forward to. I wanted to say that now this week, as I'm not going to be here next week, obviously, to do audio. And I really wanted to praise both guys. Up next, Bram was facing Matt Hardy. Speaking of such, Bram was talking with James Storm backstage. Storm said he liked something in Bram. Bram liked what Storm did to Jeff. James Storm said there was always room for one more. He said he needed Bram to take out Matt Hardy. Storm said, if he did this for the Revolution, Bram will never have any regrets. Cut to break. I have no idea why, and I don't know if it was the late night when I was watching this, but when Bram said, I like what you did to Jeff, and James said he liked something in Bram, it took my mind back 10 years ago. Some of you will know where I'm going with this. And Heidenreich and Gene Snitsky's meeting backstage where Snitsky goes, I like your poetry. And Heidenreich said, I like what you do with babies. There was no connection whatsoever between the two backstage segments in any way, except the verb, basically the way they interacted. But for some reason, that just popped in my head when I watched this segment. Back from the break, we got a highlight video of Kurt Angle. Bram headed to the ring for his encounter with Matt Hardy with his cue ball in hand. So the second match of the night was Bram against Matt Hardy. Hardy went to Bram quickly to start. Matt continued to work the corners until Bram turned the tables to his own onslaught. Matt dodged Bram into a bulldog. Matt then took Bram to the outside. Late in the match, Bram continued to work on Hardy. Bram missed an elbow drop, so Hardy went high risk and hit two elbows on Bram, with Bram kicking out at two. Hardy hit a side effect for another two count. Hardy then hit a moonsault for a two count. Bram dragged the ref in front of him, then hit the impaler on Matt Hardy for the victory. So Bram defeated Matt Hardy in 4 minutes and 11 seconds. Bram grabbed a turnbuckle hook, which then brought out Magnus, who came in quickly to beat down Bram. Magnus told Bram that he hoped Bram's ears were ringing when he got bitch slapped by his missus. He wanted Bram to look in his eyes and know that when he beat him, Magnus had two choices. His son can look up to him as a person who had a broken heart, or a person who stands up for himself, family, and the people. He said he's getting his hands on Bram. It's not about titles, money, it's personal. He was going to give Bram the beating his daddy should have. He said Bram's blood will stain the hallowed ground of England. Really solid stuff again from TNA. At this point in Matt Hardy's career, he is able to sort of give back to the younger guys. And on the surface, although it might look like a star has lost clean to a younger guy with no build-up, at the same time, Bram is in the middle of a long feud, whereas Matt is sort of spinning his wheels until the tapings are held back in the US and Jeff can come back. As a consequence, Bram looked like a huge deal beating the longtime legend that is Matt Hardy, and TNA also gave a heel a clean victory. Really solid stuff in terms of in-ring action as well. Overall, the promo from Magnus was strong. He clearly felt the anger and displayed as much passion as you'd expect from someone who had been through what he had been through. My only gripe, and I'm reaching here for a negative, is Bram was on the floor at ringside when Magnus was cutting his promo, and if he was really that mad, why didn't he at least go after him after cutting the promo? Why wait until they match next week? Why didn't he go out and try and get his revenge now? They could have covered this with security stopping him getting out of the ring, but they didn't. I know it's a silly nitpick, but I need to be as balanced as I possibly can. Just to give you guys a bit of a behind the scenes of the glamorous life that I lead. I was in the middle of recording the podcast for you guys then, and I just had to take a half hour break because I had three cats scratching on the door, basically meowing at the top of their lungs. So I went out to have a look at what was happening, and one of them had tipped a litter tray over, and the rest wanted to go to the bathroom, I think. So I've just had to spend the last half an hour clearing up. Yeah, I don't even need to go there. I'm sure the images are in your head. So that's the glamorous life I lead as a .NET staffer. Now, this is the point of John's report where his factual information is slightly off. I'm going to read to you as he wrote it. And I know a lot of you guys listening to this are going to go, why is he moaning about this? But it's so close to my heart, so you're going to have to pray with me. He said, backstage, Spud was chatting with Mr. Anderson. Spud was wearing an English flag suit and thanked Anderson for assisting him with EC3. Spud said he was ending it tonight. Anderson said, okay, I'm with you, Spud. John, if you are listening, my friend, that is not an England flag suit. It's a Union Jack suit, which means it represents the four countries of the UK, not just England, but also Scotland, Northern Ireland, and of course Wales. I'm so going to get heat from people for pointing that out, as I know there's a culture in America of calling anywhere in the UK England. And it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things, I know, especially in this world nowadays, with all the nonsense in Russia and the Middle East. But I don't care. I needed to get that out. I'm going to get my own back on you later, John. Don't you worry about that. Matthews and Taz recapped the Drew Galloway and Kenny King encounter. Low-key was irate backstage as Kenny King was treated by doctors. Drew Galloway continued to talk about the BDC, saying that they were trying to choose the champ, dominating the whole show, shoving things down the fans' throats. More WWE jabs, as John put it. He said the crowd agreed with him, and he was standing up for wrestling. I don't know about you guys. I'm getting the impression that Drew is a wrestling fan, and he is standing up for wrestling. Is that coming across to everyone else? Talking about banging your point across the head of the viewers. Anyway, now we come to the highlight of the show. Let me make sure I've got this now, because I literally fell a little bit more in love with Rockstar Spud. I know I'm an analyst and I should be more professional, but I'm starting to get such a man crush feeling for this man, and as a heterosexual man, I'm comfortable enough in my sexuality to say that. He's probably my favourite babyface in the whole of wrestling at the moment, not just TNA. Big statement, I know, and it's not just because he sounds like Darren Gutteridge. A highlight video of the Spud EC3 feud aired. Rockstar Spud headed to the ring in his really dazzling English flag suit, as John put it, even though it's the Union Jack, representing the union of four countries. Breathe. Rockstar Spud grabbed the microphone and said the past few months were the worst of his life. He said friends had been hurt and embarrassed, and the only thing keeping him through this was the fans. He said there comes a time to end things. He then called Ethan Carter to the ring for a one-on-one confrontation. EC3's music played. Ethan Carter walked to the ring on his own in a black suit and pink shirt. Spud glared at EC3 intensely as Carter approached the ring with a mic in hand. The two men stared holes into each other. Spud said he wanted to fight Ethan. It has to end. He wanted a man-on-man battle to end this. Carter retorted by saying, people like Spud don't get a challenge people like him. He said he was the guy, the franchise, born and bred to carry the company to the future. He called Spud a little boy, and he was going into his undefeated speech before Spud told him to shut up. Spud said he knew who he is. He knew Carter called himself the hardcore American idol. He was there when he defeated Bully Ray, Sting, and various others. Spud wanted a match. Carter said Spud wanted a match in front of Mammy, Dada, and Nana. Carter said fine, but Spud had to give him something. He wanted Spud's hair to be on the line. Spud wanted Carter's hair on the line as well. Spud said he would embarrass Ethan Carter and end the streak. Carter said challenge accepted. But in this world, the bad guys win. Spud reminded Carter of his encouraging words that Spud was fierce, a lion, a gazelle. Spud said he's none of those things. He's a freaking man. And he's going to end Carter's streak and shave him bald. Cue Spud's theme as Carter paced to the back with Spud holding his intense stare. I can't say enough good things about this promo. Even if you had never seen Rockstar Spud or knew anything about this feud, I firmly believe you could have watched this promo and gone, wow, I need to see this match. How many times in this day and age do we actually see that and we can actually say that? I can't praise the work that both men, not just my boy Spud, did here. The expressions from EC3 was perfect. He came out looking confident. At one point, he even turned his back on Spud to cut a promo. But Spud told him to shut up. EC3 turned around and the look of pure wow. I may have actually underestimated this guy. It was just phenomenal. I don't know what else to say. I really don't. I'm just as shocked as everyone else, I think. Spud is just awesome as an underdog showing fight, and TNA so far have embraced the love that fans have for Spud and they just rolled with it. Do yourself a favor, if you haven't seen this promo, go out and watch it. They then cut to an Eric Young highlight video painting him as an unpredictable character and a world-class maniac. This was a very good video, which seems to be what I'm saying a lot about TNA's production at the moment when it comes to these promotional videos. But then, from one amazing segment and world-class promotional video, then we get back to your regular TNA viewing experience. Up next was the Knockouts title match. Kong headed to the ring. Nosh Matthews. Josh noted that she hit two implant busters on the knockouts champ. Taryn Terrell followed, so the third match of the night was Taryn Terrell against Awesome Kong. Taryn tried to start them action quickly, but Kong wouldn't budge. Kong ran into Taryn to ground her and start the match. Kong just womanhandled Taryn around the ring. Taryn tried to show some fight with forearms, only to eat a shoulder block from the challenger. Kong laid in chop combinations on Taryn. Kong squashed the champ with a corner splash. It is really difficult to say Kong a lot of times. Kong. Taryn tried a high-risk clothesline, but Kong stood steadfast, grounding the champ yet again. And the end of the match came when Taryn dodged and caught Kong in the corner with the 10-count punches. Kong tried to toss Taryn to the outside, but Taryn dragged Kong over the ropes. Taryn managed to ground Kong for the first time with a crossbody for a 1 count. Taryn tried to hit the Taryn cutter, only to get tossed down by Kong. Kong went for the implant buster, but Taryn escaped. Taryn tried the same cutter, but it ended in the same way, in failure. Kong just continued to dominate. Kong pushed Earl Hebner out of the way, just a little teeny bit, but she was DQ'd for her trouble. So Taryn Terrell defeated Awesome Kong via disqualification in 4 minutes and 9 seconds. After the match, Kong struck fear in Hebner with a stare. Kong continued to onslaught on Taryn Terrell, running her into the steps, going for an implant buster. This brought out Gail Kim, who ran in to stop Kong. The two former rivals battled it out. They brawled head into the back, as Taryn Terrell laid on the ground. John enjoyed this match and after-match nonsense more than I did. The knockout division is a complete cluster at the moment, as far as I'm concerned. Your champion isn't over. She has no personality and is just plain vanilla. Your most popular wrestler is being turned heel with her actions, but the crowd doesn't want to boo her. And your best wrestler, who just got destroyed by Havoc, who in turn got destroyed by Kong, is now feuding with Kong. And we are supposed to believe that she wouldn't get destroyed. Yes, I praised putting Havoc over Kim to build her for the Kong feud. But they haven't done anything to rebuild Kim. So her being able to go toe-to-toe with Kong just feels clunky to me. I know a lot of plans changed when Havoc left, but they need to hit the reset button for the next tapings and redefine everyone in that division and their standings. Next up, it was Bobby Roode's turn for a profile video. Back to the arena, the Revolution head to the ring without the auxiliary Manic, Koya and Sanada. The Wolves headed out next for their title shot. Before the bell rang, the rest of the Revolution ambushed the Wolves as they went to the ring, softening them up for the champions. So match number 4 was the Revolution versus the Wolves for the TNA World Tag Titles. About halfway through the match, Davey rattled Storm with a unique double in Zaguri. Eddie Edwards made the hot tag, taking it to Storm with clotheslines and kicks. Eddie then landed a backpack stunner for the near fall. Storm ran into the Wolves' signature combo kick. As they both went high risk, Abyss took out Davey while Storm landed Eye of the Storm for his own near fall. Manic complained to the ref while Matt Hardy made his entrance. Eddie got a roll up for a close near fall. Storm hit a cutter on Eddie and got the tag and tagged in Abyss. Abyss went to double chokeslam both guys, but they flipped out and knocked the Revolution to the outside. In rapid fire fashion, they did suicide dives on all the Revolution guys, including 3 on Storm and Abyss in rapid succession. And the crowd were going absolutely crazy. It was a great moment. I thought after the second one, now it's a bit overkill, but then the third one hit and the place absolutely popped. It was great. They also got Matt Hardy with one of them when Storm dodged a 4th suicide dive. Eddie took out Storm with a Pele kick. Manic came in the ring and ate Blue Mist accidentally from Sanada. Abyss clotheslined Eddie as he grabbed Storm's cowbell. The ref took the bell and Matt Hardy hit Twist of Fate on Abyss. Eddie hit a double foot stomp on Abyss and Davey hit a double foot stomp on, then followed up with a double foot stomp on Abyss. And Eddie pinned Abyss for the victory to capture the Tag Team Championships. So, your new TNA World Tag Team title holders are the Wolves after they defeated the Revolution in 8 minutes and 1 seconds. Josh Matthews, or as I'm now going to call him, Nosh Matthews, said this was the Wolves' third reign as tag team champs. Storm slapped Koya in disappointment. The Wolves celebrated their big win with the crowd. We head to the break as the announcers hyped the main event. Mixed emotions for me for this match and title change. Firstly, the action in the ring was as good as you would expect considering who was involved. And as I said, those suicide dives were unique and novel, and the crowd just ate it up. I know they showed a build-up video beforehand, but I would have liked more of a story going into the match than the title change, as it just felt like a throwaway match that the Wolves won without any build-up. And three title reigns already? Really? Haven't they only been in TNA for like 12 months or so? 2 months of that, I don't think even TNA were even on Spike TV. For me, it just made the title belts not seem as important as they should. As for the run-ins, yes, Matt Hardy running was expected to even the odds, but I would argue that there are too many factions in TNA who get involved in matches and are not DQ'd for blatant interference. It's basically diminishing returns as far as I see it. Heel faction gang up and put the odds against the faces, but the faces then overcome. Yes, that's a basic storyline, but when you see it played out over and over again, sometimes a couple of times in the same show with two or three different factions, you just get desensitized to it. You just get numb to it. A fun little story, which I haven't been able to tell until now because I didn't want to get into any spoilers. This was the last show taped the night before the tapings I went to. And the spoilers came in after I already left for the show in London, so I didn't see that this title change has occurred. The first match of the tapings that I went to, it was the Ultimate X match for the tag titles between the Wolves, and it was a few others as well. And I didn't know what the hell was going on. I was supposed to be doing live coverage, but my brain was not working at all. I was thinking, hang on, Storm and Abyss are not out there. They're the titles holders, aren't they? I don't understand what's happening. It would have helped if TNA had announced to the crowd that the Wolves were the champions or shown a small clip of them winning to put it into context, but I digress. The announcers recapped the tag team championship win by the Wolves. Backstage, Matt Hardy said the Wolves were deserving of the titles. Matt also said once Jeff gets healthy, he wants a title shot. Davey said it was an honour to win the tag titles and have a chance to face good competition like the Hardy Boys. The awesome segment between Spud and Ethan Carter was recapped, hyping next week's Streak versus Spud match. Magnus and Bram was also promoted for next week. I loved how the Wolves put over the tag titles though, and they managed to put more prestige and importance to those belts in a 5-minute promo than Abyss and Storm had done in 5 months of carrying them. Just something to think about. So, the main event. And this was Eric Young versus Bobby Roode versus Kurt Angle for the number one contendership. Let me just roll back a second. They kept talking about the rankings that they are doing, and unless I missed it, I don't get how they work these rankings out. Surely they can't just throw them against the wall, hope they stick, and the fans don't question it. If I'm watching a show and analysing it, and I don't pick up how they work out the rankings, then either A, I'm stupid, which very possible. B, they are not telling us how it's worked out. Or C, they are doing a poor job of getting across how they work them out to the viewer. It could be a combination of all three, and quite possibly, and more than likely, it's because I'm stupid. But I just wanted to point that out. I have no idea how the rankings work. So the people who have asked me via email, I'm sorry. I just don't know. I just do not know. Late in this match, Roode got the crossface on Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle escaped and got the angle locked in. Angle rolled through into the crossface. Eric Young broke things up, signaling his power driver. Roode escaped into the spinebuster, and Bobby Roode then ate an angle slam from Kurt for the near fall. Angle got the drop toehold on Young, locking him in the ankle lock. Young got to the ropes, and Roode went for the powerbomb, but Angle went into his ankle lock again. There was then a ref bump. Eric Young nailed Bobby Roode with a steel chair. Angle took advantage by hitting the Olympic slam, and then Angle defeated Bobby Roode with the pin. So, Kurt Angle defeated Bobby Roode and Eric Young via pinfall in 8 minutes and 38 seconds to become the new number one contender for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. And hopefully he'll stop moaning now. After the match, Angle picked up Roode in respect. The announcers noted how Kurt was probably unaware that Eric Young rocked Bobby Roode with the chair shot to the face before the Angle slam. The two men hugged. Kurt Angle celebrated his victory. Suddenly, Bobby Lashley came out and stared at Kurt Angle. Like only Bobby Lashley can be. Lashley and Angle went face to face as Bobby Roode looked on. Next week, we're getting another one-on-one match with Roode and Young. Also, there was a bloody visual of Rockstar Spud, and they were previewing his encounter with Ethan Carter III, and you have to watch that match, it's fantastic. So that was the end of Impact. Yeah, it was a pretty decent main event, with all three guys working hard and making it obvious that each one coveted the title belt, which builds up the title, which they should be doing. I could have done without the ref bump, but there we go. You know, if you watch TNA and you don't expect a ref bump, then you watch the wrong show, with all due respect. It was a sort of strange ending, as I know they don't further this out in terms of playing off the finish between Angle and Bobby. And basically play off the fact that Kurt got a cheapish, if an intentional cheap finish. But at the same time, I haven't seen the backstage segments that they recorded, so they may very well do. So yeah, that was your Impact Wrestling Review of the Week and your update on my glamorous life with my cats. All in all, not a bad 2 hours of a wrestling show. What I did enjoy, I loved. But what I didn't like, I hated with a passion. That sort of sums up perfectly in a sentence my feelings on TNA in general, to be honest with you. The show rolls on to Wembley Arena next week for the shows that were taped on the 31st of January. I don't know if I've mentioned this at all, but I was at those shows. But seriously, I'm bricking it for two reasons. Firstly, I was opposite the hard camera, so although I wasn't anywhere near front row by the ring, I know where I was sitting, so I will be able to see me, and that's not good. And even more worryingly, the guys behind me were so annoying, but they were very passionate fans, which TNA has a tendency of focusing on and showing them on camera. At some point, I know they will be on camera, and you'll just see me in front of them shaking my head or rolling my eyes at them. If you want to contact me, you can do so on Twitter at Hayden Gleed, or indeed via email at hayden.gleed@gmail.com. As I said, I won't be here next week, so I'll speak to you guys in 2 weeks. Oh, and by the way, I know John was delighted that there was no bromance on this show this week, but because he called the British flag the English flag twice in his report, I've got four words for him. Bah, 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 bah! Take care, everyone. Be good, and if you can't be good, be safe.